Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. My name is Stephen Sapp. I'm the Community Relations Director and a spokesperson for the City of Columbia. These past 2 weeks have been tough for our community with 4 homicides and a number of shootings. Police Chief Jeff Jones and Mayor Brian Treese are here today to provide an update on the homicides in Columbia this year and information about who we are still searching for and discuss gun violence in our community. Would ask that you please hold questions until the end. I would like to introduce to you Police Chief Jeff Jones.
Thank you, Steve. Good afternoon. Thank you all for being here. As you know, we've had a number of tragedies in our community. We're here today to provide an update on the homicides this year and ask for your help. In 2019 to date, officially we've had 9 homicides. One of those was a vehicular homicide charge due to a vehicle crash. One of those was a tragic murder-suicide. The other 7 homicides were a result of gun violence. Of those 7 homicides, we've made arrests or have arrest warrants pending in 5 cases. I'm going to go over the homicides that we've had. This one here. Oh, thank you. January 17th, Deontay Gainwell. January 26th, Dominique Rowland, the vehicle homicide of Jordan Hoyt. The murder-suicide with the victim, Mary Trentman. June 26th, David Morgan. September 13th, Nadria Wright. September 14th, Iquan Spain. And September 22nd, Antonio Houston and Danielle Marine. We have warrants for 2 suspects in different cases, and we're asking for the public's help in sharing information and ask that you help us if you have any knowledge of their whereabouts. First is Aaron Harris, a.k.a. Pooh Bear, charged with 1 count of murder second degree and 1 count of unlawful use of a weapon in relation to the death of Iquan Spain, 26 years old, 6 foot 1 inches tall, 250 pounds. Secondly, we have a warrant for Javion Marte Wallace Lawhorn, charged with 1 count of murder in the second degree, 2 counts of unlawful use of a weapon, and 2 counts of armed criminal action. This is in relation to the death of Nadria Wright. He's 30 years old, 6 foot 2, 290 pounds. Our officers and detectives have been working around the clock to solve these crimes and arrest those who are suspected of these murders. As you've heard, 5 of the 7 gun-related homicides this year have either been solved or we are pursuing leads. However, we are currently do not have any solid leads in the homicides of Antonio Houston and Danielle Marine that occurred on September 22nd on McKee Street. I don't know how else to say this. If you know something, please say something. If you know someone who may know something about these homicides, please encourage them to say something. Someone knows who committed these murders. Those who committed these murders have crossed the line, and for the safety and well-being of our community, must be held accountable. If you know something, say something. We won't stop pursuing these criminals until they are arrested and held accountable for the crimes they've committed. We appreciate the community's help in bringing those who prey on others to justice. Our thoughts are with the families grieving and the loss of their loved ones. Anyone with information in these cases can either call the police department at 874-7652 or Crime Stoppers at 875-TIPS. I just want to add a little something before turning this over to Mayor Treese. We have families present, we have families who are watching, and they're all suffering. We have a responsibility as a community, not just as the police, to police this issue. And we owe it to them, we owe it to ourselves to say something. So I ask for your help in that, and I want to welcome Mayor Treese.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chief, and my thanks to all of you for joining us today to talk about violence and specifically gun violence in our community. First, I want to recognize the outstanding and tireless work of our police department and their families for their hundreds of hours that they have invested in the arrests and bringing forth the evidence to secure the charges we have today. But our police officers alone cannot solve this problem. If you remember that weather map off the coast of Florida, when that hurricane is swirling, hovering offshore, I feel like there is a hurricane of violence hovering over our community right now, with one side shooting at the other side, and someone fills those shoes and starts shooting back at the other side. And while I thank our law enforcement officers and their families, I also want to recognize the mothers and fathers and children and cousins and friends and neighbors of Deontay Gainwell and Dominic Rowland and David Morgan and Nandria Wright and Equan Spain, Antonio Houston and Danielle Marine. Both for those families and friends' loss, but also for our community's loss of their potential. Let me be clear. This is not a singular issue such as socioeconomics or economic disparity or race or where you live. I also want to reiterate what Chief Jones said to me yesterday, and that is the police cannot arrest their way out of this problem. This is a community problem. It is a broad-based and multifaceted community issue that affects all of us, and each and every one of us has a community responsibility to find ways to stop this cycle of violence, which continues to rob our community of our youth and their potential. In 2014, Mayor McDavid's Task Force on Community Violence met and identified 12 consensus points that contribute to the current cycle that we find ourselves in. And they relate to drugs and community violence and lack of economic opportunity and lack of education and job skills and several other points. That entire list of recommendations is included as an appendix to that report. A couple years ago, I asked city staff for a report card on the progress that we have made. And you can see that we have made significant strides in implementing the Community Violence Task Force recommendations, but there's more work to be done, and that work requires all of us in our community. This is, in no uncertain terms, a public health crisis. The economic cost of lost productivity, medical attention, increased law enforcement, increased prosecution, increased incarceration costs, the uptick of 911 calls is simply unsustainable, both in terms of economic and tangible means, but for the loss of these family members and their potential in our community. We must hold criminals accountable, but we also know that we as a community need solutions to address the multiple causes of this violence and these crimes. And these solutions have to include our schools and our families and public health systems and our places of worship and economic opportunities for all, and most of all, a culture of respect for each other. There are no easy answers to this problem. But if we want to see a healthier Colombia, it's up to all Colombians to step up. The public alone and the police alone are not the answer. We have to first acknowledge that we have to do better. And I am confident that our community can come together to stop this violence. I know our community can face these issues head on with the compassion and meaningful and respectful and inclusive and deliberate hard work and reflective dialogue and actions, but we all must keep doing the hard work for our future. I'm happy to take any questions. Generally speaking, I know Chief Jones is available. We have a number of community leaders here that have been part of this effort for many years, and for the last 10 days especially have been on the front lines dealing with victims and their families and witnesses and potential witnesses. And we need to continue doing that and magnify our effort in that regard. Any questions? Barry.
Could you repeat the two names that the police department is searching for?
I'll let Chief do that.
Could you please spell them as well?
Sure. Be able to give copies. Steve. Oh, gotcha. Thank you. Aaron Harris, AaronHarris. Javion, JaVion. Wallace, WALLACE - Lawhorn, LAWHORN. Wallace Lawhorn.
September 19th, Yvonne Johnston, who pronounced that correctly, was killed on Jamesdale Road as part of a burglary investigation. I noticed can you give us anything on that case? Is that being considered a homicide?
It is death by another person. We are investigating that to see if it was a justifiable homicide. Possibly.
Said that the city has done a good job of implementing some of those strategies, and some of the strategies have not been implemented. The report called for an intervention mechanism as well as some sort of mechanism to address recidivism. Why were neither of those recommendations followed? What's the opposite?
I don't know if it's the city's sole investment to do that. I know that we have identified that statistically, gun shooting victims are more likely to be shooters themselves. That's a fact that we have uncovered over the last few years. And I think that type of early intervention is necessary. There are other offender reentry programs that I know our police department and our public health department participate in. Early intervention is also part of that, with at-risk youth in schools, reaching out to them. But again, this has to be a community effort, and the whole task force was about community violence, and that requires a community response, I believe.
So what would you do with having people in the community meet with some of the people who are beefing with each other and trying to have some kind of mediation before this hits the streets and endangers innocent people?
I think that happens. I do. And, you know, if you think back to our strategic plan for the city and our social equity plan with our three target neighborhoods, you saw that type of intervention with dramatic results in terms of reductions in violent crimes under Chief Jones' leadership. We've expanded that model to cover the entire city. That takes more resources, but it also takes the type of committed volunteers and leaders and mentors within those communities to encourage that type of witness participation, to encourage that type of anti-recidivism.
Obviously, it didn't take place in these cases. But I'd also like to touch on community policing. You know, we talked about community policing 2.5, 3 years ago, and we haven't heard a peep about it in 9 months, a year. So what's the status of the community policing initiative? When will we actually see CPD transform into a community-oriented model?
Well, I can tell you, and I'm going to let Chief Jones address some of the changes that he has made, both in terms of personnel and policy and procedure within that department. But, you know, look, for every month for the last 2 to 3 years at Second Missionary Baptist Church, we've had an ongoing dialogue about community policing. And as I have said, I think it's time for a little less talk and a little more action. And I think that's exactly what Chief Jones has implemented. He was sworn in 2 weeks ago, but as interim police chief, he has been leading this effort both as head of the COU and as interim chief for the last 9 months.
So there are a lot of different definitions of community policing, and I've said over and over that we're really talking about good policing. I'm not sure what exactly you're referring to when you say that we haven't taken steps, but if you look overall at the city, how we've structured our training programs, how we've structured our communication, and we've talked about this multiple times, that happens inside. We have to start inside before we can ever go out into the community and do community policing. And I take exception to that. I think we've all been working to come up with a staffing plan that will fit people's idea of what community policing is. But until we have enough officers, that will not be citywide. But we do plan to put it in areas that we think will benefit. But we have been working internally on communications, customer service. I know that an assistant chief and a sergeant have been working very hard on a staffing plan for community policing. We're trying to get officers to live in their beats. There have been several initiatives that have taken place over the last 6 months. This is a big ship, and it doesn't turn on a dime. And we are making strides, but it will not happen overnight.
I recall Jones has said all police are community police. They are policing the community. Does that mean that every officer will go through training, and what will that training include?
Every officer has gone through customer service training. Every officer will be exposed to the COU, the community outreach units, resources that they use to do that community caretaking side of policing. But they will also look into investigative practices so that we're being more thorough in investigations, and we are taking care of those people who are being preyed upon. So it's not just the side of policing that gives services. We also have to do the law enforcement side of policing. And we're making sure that officers are well-equipped to do those things. And you've seen those results recently with all of the arrests and warrants for shootings. It's because our investigative unit, our officers are working well together. They're communicating with each other better than I've seen in a long time. You can talk to the command staff after. I think that they would say the same thing. But that is community policing. And don't get stuck on one idea of one part of policing. Understand that there are multiple parts at play there. Yes, sir.
I guess this question is for both of you, because it seems to me that both of you have agreed that we cannot arrest ourselves out of the problem. It seems to me that one of the facets that we'll have to address is economic. The great disparity between neighborhoods in this city. And so Pookie does not sell dope because it feels good. Pookie sells dope, gets involved in violence because of economic reasons. Question then is, how is the city, not so much you as the police department, because that's really outside of your review, but as the city, Mr. Mayor, how are you thinking about, and the rest of the city council, addressing the great economic disparity that feeds the kind of violence in which we're experiencing.
Thank you, Reverend Dawson. I appreciate your leadership on this issue and kind words. Trust me, I worry about that issue all the time. And you look at the city's strategic plan that identified for the first time that economic disparity between white and black and rich and poor and the haves and the have-nots, and identifying a focused effort both in terms of lack of education, lack of basic skills, lack of job training. And you look at our entire community, and we are blessed with the resources of good jobs and good manufacturing jobs and somewhere between 1.6 and 2% unemployment, there are jobs available. And what we need to do is to make sure that we can connect those who want to choose that path with the job training and the education that they need to, but they have to be motivated to make that change. And one of the reasons I objected to Pat's question was because, you know, we're talking about five individuals. We're talking about 12 to 20 individuals that are committing the bulk of this unrest, if you will. I would take those odds and hope that we are making a difference for the rest of our community in giving them economic opportunity and the chance to choose that better path and the resources and the mentors and the capital to do so. Yeah.
I agree with you that there seems to be an increase of opportunity for people to be employed. But one of the things that happens, it seems to me, is that unless you have a mentor to help you be employed, you can apply for a job but don't know how or don't know how to stay, et cetera, et cetera. And I know a lot of times when people, it seems to me, when I say this in Columbia, they're kind of like, well, everybody knows how to keep a job. You just show up. No, everyone doesn't. Everyone doesn't know how to balance finance. Everyone does. If you don't have money in your family, you don't know about money. So one of the things I wonder about is because of the city's connection, and I mean this positively, with the business community, isn't it possible for some business folk to take some folk like Shaquika, like Ray Ray, like the folks who are getting in trouble, and mentoring them so they know how to do those things?
Well, look at our care program, which was just the topic of our budget discussions last month, and you know how it took a partnership between Columbia Public Schools and the city council, shaving here and there and water and light to really create those opportunities, those job shadowing opportunities to give people a glimpse of, yeah, I could do that job. And I think you've heard me talk about this, and I don't want to get too far into the weeds on socioeconomic and you know, the racial history of Columbia, but, you know, there's a dearth of affluent black middle class here. I mean, where are the role models with black physicians and black lawyers and black pharmacists and black educators and black business owners that give others that don't look like me the mentors and the role models they need to emulate? But that doesn't happen overnight, and you know, look, you've got a mayor and a council and a chief and a city manager and an entire city that is committed to that. Reverend Gray.
I want to make this clear on the question that you asked our chief. And I want you to hear me because I don't know where you've been.
Okay, we'll hear you.
I'm Reverend Gray.
All right, Reverend.
For the last five murders that we have had, you have not been there to look those families in the eye. You have not looked at any of my officers in uniform that have done follow-up calls with the victims. You have not sat there and watched them come down on a football Saturday with 75, 100 kids in Douglas Park, a football Saturday, and play with these kids. What I'm saying to you, and don't misunderstand me, until you all get out there and see for yourself that the young lady, I eulogized her service with 500 kids and my officers sitting there with tears in their eyes. And then you ask, what are they doing? You go and ask that mother what they are doing, because they are doing stuff that that we hope and pray that everybody else will do. So don't miss
it. I don't think it's disparaging the fine work of the Columbia Heights. We all admire their efforts.
We're
here to ask questions to see what the causes are, what the city's doing about it, and that's our job. So I apologize if I offended anyone.
Any other questions?
And that's an order.
Ms. Ratner.
Let me just say that as we are discussing the violence in Columbia and what we can do, that's what I need, is to see what we can do as a community together to try to stop this violence, stop this killing, you know. So, and I guess I'll use the word of someone that I hold in high, held in high esteem, Julian Bond. The statement was that they were at a stream and there were this bunch of babies coming down the stream, drowning. And they were out here and they kept running and picking these babies up and pulling them out of the stream onto the banks. And the babies kept coming. And so finally, this one guy said, "Went that way." And they go, "Where are you going? These babies are in the stream down here. Aren't you going to help us get them out?" And he said, "I'm going up there and find the reason that those babies are being thrown in that river coming down the stream." That's what we have got to do in Columbia. We have to see what is it that we can do as a community. One of the things that we have to do to try to help, and I'm talking about the community, that's the community that's involved. One of the things that we have to do, we talk about, you know, we talk about jobs. And it's good for those little high school kids to have a McDonald's job. It doesn't pay a household. When we talk about jobs, we've got to be talking about livable wage jobs that will take care of families and get them off the street so that when that drug dealer comes to you, it doesn't look so inviting. So that's part of, we know what some of the problems are. We just got to find a way to fix it. So, you know, I would challenge the business owners here, challenge the city. While we're doing, and I think the police are doing great work of trying to resolve these issues, but until we get to the bottom of what the problems are, we aren't going to be able to resolve it because money, the Bible says, the roots of all evil, okay? And if we don't do something to allow the kind of some job improvement, and I talk about it all the time, when I go down Broadway, I want to see some black faces in some of these, down Broadway here someplace, you know? So people want to see, and I know we're talking about socioeconomic issues now, but that is part of the problem. You can't talk about one without talking about the other, and I think we need to understand that. And so we need to find out what we can do when we talk about these young people coming back in from prison or wherever, you know, and come, and I know I hear it all the time, is that, you know, I've applied all of this many times, and I can't even get an interview, you know, So, you know, what are they going to do? What are we going to expect them to do? Somebody's going to pull them in out there. And so we've got to see what we can do as a city to try to do something about the socioeconomic portion as well as the police part. And I'm not blaming, I really want you to understand that I am not blaming the police for the killings that's going on. There's no excuse for it, and I am just as angry as I can be that this has happened. But we have got to start looking at this in a holistic way.
Agreed. Barry?
So, Chief, you mentioned that there are a number, and the mayor, you mentioned as well that there are a number of communities, but obviously the police department is working to become more community-oriented, but you mentioned that lack of officers makes that difficult and slows that progress. How long could it take until CBE does have enough officers?
That's almost an impossible question here. It really...
Chief, can you stay up on the mic?
Sure.
Thanks.
That is almost an impossible question because Columbia will get the police department that that our community supports. And we have to look at, when I propose a model here in a few months, roughly, I think people will be supportive of that model, but it takes people. And if there's some variation of that, then there's some variation of that. But it's really too early to tell how many officers we're going to need. What I can tell you is that we are short officers right now. And we have been stretched as far as any police department can be stretched. Our officers have been working overtime. They volunteer to stay late. They have been all in to finding out who is doing this and bring them to justice. But that can only sustain itself for a short period of time. Eventually, we're going to have resources. I just don't know what that number is yet.
Takes a community and also takes space in the city budget. And so, Mayor Truth, can you speak about kind of what that discussion is like from the city council standpoint of finding more resources for the department?
Of course, and let me first tell you what we've done. We've added 9 new police officers. We have a collaborative policing agreement with the University of Missouri now for the first time ever that liberates about 300 calls, basically one new FTE for the city that we can dedicate to downtown and some of these other issues. For the first time ever, we have communication with Boone County Sheriff's Department to really extend, both our arrest powers, the chief's arrest powers beyond the city limits, and vice versa with sheriff's deputies. So I think we are doing well, but I have to tell you, the last 10 days have been time intensive, both in terms of overtime, the amount of hours. You add on a 13-year-old cold case file that this department found critical evidence for, and for the right reason, and you begin to get a sense of the unsustainability of the current environment. And look, it is rooted in guns. It is rooted in illegal guns, stolen guns, and drugs. To combat that requires an investment. I think you do have the political will on council to make sure that we have a fully funded and adequately funded police department. We're not going to add 50 officers overnight. He couldn't hire 50 officers, which is a whole other problem that we have. But I think the more Chief Jones does to restore confidence, both in terms of those that want to work for the Columbia Police Department and attract officers that want to come here and retire from here. We benefit from those veteran officers with the experience to do the job that we need them to do.
Those 9 new positions that were created, have they been filled, or are they just...
As we hire, people retire. I signed 2 thank you notes last week after officers retired. This job takes its toll, not just on the officers and their families, and this is not without, this is with complete respect to the victims and their families, but the amount of hours and overtime that these officers have put in on that cold case file, on these, and I can't go into the work that contributed to these arrests, but it has been significant.
It's roughly 10 or 11, and I will tell you that's a typical number for us, just with retirements and people who move on to different jobs. It's not really the vacancy rate that is so significant. It is the amount of time it takes to fill those positions. The other part of that is that when you are so short-staffed, having any vacancy is magnified. So that becomes an issue. Emily, did you have something?
Yeah. We talked to neighbors living on Rice Road and East Street who don't even feel safe in their homes now after recent crime. What would you say to those folks?
That we are actively pursuing those people, and we need the community's help. And if they have information, please come talk to us.
One of the things that you guys have pushed is the community becoming involved. What on your end have you been doing to build trust in the police department when there's been such a history of racial injustice in this country, in this city? maybe touch on transparency, for example, in regards to...
I really don't understand your question. You're going to have to be more concise than that for me.
What steps are you taking now or will you take to build trust in a community that has been embattled by racial justice?
We've been putting officers in schools. We've put officers in strategic neighborhoods that have been historically high crime, low investment areas. We have trained our officers to look at customer service as part of their daily work. We have expanded our knowledge of what services are available so that we can expand our capacity to refer those services. We have asked for and received a tentative commitment for some help with social work in our county. I could go on and on. We have relationships, and I've talked a lot about relationships in the past. We can say a lot of things, but it really is about action. And unless you have relationships with people and you're willing to carry out those actions, it's meaningless. And there are a lot of people in this room and in this community who have been very supportive of me personally and us as an organization. And we start to see those results when we have crimes like this. So there has been a lot of progress to connect with the community, and it'll continue.
Let me address that as well. The best thing this department can do to restore trust and confidence in the department is to make arrests, because that reinforces that when a witness steps forward and provides information critical to that arrest and the arrest gets made, that is positive reinforcement that encourages other witnesses to come forward. And you're seeing the results of that with 5 arrests within hours and days of these homicides. The other thing that I think the City of Columbia did well was not to ignore the symptoms that contributed to the unrest in Ferguson, Missouri, and the both in terms of reforming our own municipal court system, which is now a model for other municipal courts that meet all of the Supreme Court's tenets for a model municipal court, but also the dialogue that we have been having with our police department and the community that they protect and serve. And it's not just a one-off conversation. It was a thoughtful, deliberate, regular, and frequent discussion about civility and respect and training that goes into policing and vehicle stop report data and what contributes to that, with heated and healthy discussions on both sides of those issues. Having those difficult conversations, I think, have prevented Columbia from having those same history of racial inequities that you referenced. That other communities are struggling with. Anybody else?
I wanted to say that as far as I know, we talk about people talk about talking. We've got. I know that Pastor Ruffin is putting together a group within a little week or so. That's putting together and reaching out to all the clergy within the city and the community as a whole to come together to try to, and I know people say that you meet, you gotta meet, to be able to talk about the issues that are causing, that we feel that could be helpful to the crimes that are taking place in the city. And so I know that he is calling together a group within the next few days to try to, and we're putting together that, to try to come together to see what we can do. And I know that there's another group that plans to talk and meet with the people out on Rice Road in that area, to come together to try to, anybody that has seen anything, the people that live in the area that know the people can talk to the people to meet with those people, try to come together to see what kind of things that can be brought forth that could help identify some of the players in this particular situation. So some things are being done by the community people. Everybody just have to come out and help. It's going to take the whole community to resolve this problem. And I want to say while I'm speaking is that, that I wanted to really commend the police department because I was at the rights rebuild that they had. And there were a number of police officers there intermingling with the people flying with us and all of those things, you know, before that's what was happening going on. So I do want to commend the police. And we do need, please, we know that we don't have the number of police officers that we need to do what we need to do. And I believe in community policing, and I know to do community policing the way I perceive them, and I have had the opportunity to have some training with the FBI in Kansas City as far as community policing is concerned. And so I know that we are definitely not there, and I would like to see us get there. And I do know that it takes resources and it takes officers to do the kind of policing that we really need to have done to get done what we want to get done. And I hope that we can be model city someday. That's what I keep hoping for.
Anything else? Chief?
Just as the last remark, whatever we do, we need to do it very quickly.
Yes, sir.
Because the problem will escalate if we don't. And I'm concerned, Chief, that you're short-handed. Because my fear in Columbia is that we get some youth shot, killed, or some officer killed.
Yes.
That happens. Now we're sitting on
a powder keg.
And so my hope is that with community, with the folks around us who are experts in understanding structural and systemic problems, that all of us can come together and help you to get this done quickly.
I would be grateful for that.
Because if a kid gets killed in this town, we're in trouble. Police officer gets killed, we're in trouble. And so we really, really need to do what we need to do. That's my last comment, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you.